First Chronicles chapter 15. Let's read at verse 11. And David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priest, and for the Levites, for Uriel and Asaiah and Joel and Shemaiah and Eliel and Aminadab, and said unto them, "Ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we ask you to bless our study of your word together tonight. We might see the things from it that we need to see. We pray for this church. We pray for the young men who are coming along in this church, young men who in not many days hence will be in leadership positions. We pray that you might work in their hearts and prepare them for that day, prepare them to stand for you. We pray that you would bless in the baptismal service as we're reminded again of the death and burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, reminded of how he is still willing to save to the uttermost all who come to God by him. We pray that all the things that are said and done tonight might bring praise and honor and glory to the one who loves us, the one who gave himself for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Tonight, we want to think about Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 10, where we read, "The bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones." And we want to think about those words and the application of them in the life of David here in the book of 1 Chronicles. What we've done in our last couple of messages is think about how those words particularly apply to the deception of these days in which we're living. Pastor Kelly taught us that the number one sign of the last days is deception. And he said that because in Matthew chapter 24, when the disciples asked the Lord Jesus, "What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" the first words that the Lord spoke in answer to their question were these: "Take heed that no man deceive you." And then he said this: "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ." And that, Kent said, is the deception of the last days. People agreeing with the Bible. People coming in the name of the Lord and agreeing that he is Christ. This is exactly what the verse that has been our text, Isaiah 9 and verse 10, is teaching. Where the people of God say in the pride and stoutness of heart, "The bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stone." Hewn stone is exactly what the Lord Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 5. "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." And it's like that because the Christ of the last days is hewn stone. He's not the stone that we find here in the Word of God. The one who is become the head of the corner, chosen of God and precious. He's a Christ in this hour that is hewn and molded and shaped to be what man wants him to be. He's another Jesus that Paul writes about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 4 that is promoted by another spirit and proclaimed by another gospel that is not found in this book. I think it's interesting that Isaiah 9 and verse 10 and Matthew chapter 24 and verse 5 and 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 4 line up perfectly in their message to warn us about the dangers of the last days, to warn us about this hewn stone that is the mixture of the stone, the Lord Jesus Christ, and error. Error because man takes his tool, his ways and his thoughts, his methods, and lifts those things up in the name of biblical Christianity against the stone, to make the stone what he wants him to be. And when man lifts up his tool upon the stone, the result is to defile and pollute it, and the ultimate outcome is deception. This is the day that we live in. And what we've been doing is looking at a real life example of how this hewn stone mentality and philosophy manifests itself among the people of God. The real life example is King David and his bringing the Ark of God up to Jerusalem. And the first manifestation of this hewn stone philosophy, as we talked about, was the new cart. Moving the Ark of God was right. The new cart was wrong. And the new cart was wrong because it was the Philistines' idea. It was the Philistines' method for doing the Lord's work, for sending the Ark back to Israel from their country. And the world's method for moving the Ark of God was wrong. It was wrong to be adopted by the people of God because God said the ark was to be borne on the shoulders of the Levites, and specifically the sons of Kohath, as we talked about this morning. But I believe there was something else that was wrong as we read about David bringing the ark to Jerusalem. Something else that was hewn stone, something else that was not after the due order of the stone of the Word of God. And that was the music. The music. Notice, if you will, 1 Chronicles chapter 13 and verse 7. And they carried the Ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab. And Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with their might, and with singing, and with harps, and with psalteries, and with timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpets. You notice the last word of verse 8. It's the word trumpets. Now keep your place here and turn back to 2 Samuel chapter 6, if you will. 2 Samuel chapter 6, this is the parallel passage to 1 Chronicles chapter 13 and 1 Chronicles chapter 15. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 5. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps, and on psalteries, and on timbrels, and on cornets, and on cymbals. Notice what's missing in this verse. What is missing in this verse is any mention of trumpets. Now, why are the trumpets important? I want us to see this. Turn back to Numbers chapter 10, if you will. I'm going to try not to wear you out tonight turning, but it's important to not just say these things, but to see them in the Word of God. Numbers chapter 10, and look at verse 1. Numbers chapter 10 and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver. Of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. In verse 3, the Lord gives Moses some more detail. He tells Moses that when both of these trumpets blow, both of the silver trumpets, Then all the assembly, when they hear that, all the assembly is to assemble themselves to Moses at the door of the tabernacle. In verse 4, if only one trumpet sounds, then the princes that were heads of thousands there in the nation of Israel were to gather themselves to Moses. In verse 5, when the first, if there was an alarm that was blown, when the first alarm was blown, then the camps that were on the east side were to move forward. If there was a second alarm that sounded, as we see in verse 6, then the camps that were on the south side would take their journey, and so on. The point is that these verses make it very clear that these trumpets, these two silver trumpets, govern and control the movement of the camp of Israel. We see it there at the end of verse 2, and for the journeying of the camps. We see it there at the end of verse 6, they shall blow an alarm for their journeys. And so the camp of Israel, the people, and the tabernacle, in the covered wagons of Gershon and Merari, as we talked about this morning, and the ark of God carried on the shoulders of the sons of Kohath, the movement of the people and the movement of these things was to be to the sound of these trumpets. But there's something else here. Look at verse 8. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. Notice who it is that is to blow the trumpets. It's the sons of Aaron who are to do it. And God says this is an ordinance forever throughout your generations. Now notice what other times and occasions the trumpets were to be blown. Look at verse 10. Also in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginnings of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. Notice particularly that the trumpets were to be blown in the day of your gladness. In the day of your gladness. Now with that in mind, think about what we just read in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 5. Let's turn back there if you will. 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 5. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. When we read this verse, it ought to flash like a neon sign. This is a day of gladness. The ark of God is being moved out of the house of Abinadab to Jerusalem. But notice all the hewn stones that we have in this verse. There's all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even harps and psalteries and timbrels and cornets and cymbals. But not one mention of the trumpets. And yet, according to the due order, the ark is to move at the sound of the trumpets. And not only are there no trumpets, but look who's playing the music. David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord when, according to the due order that we read in Numbers chapter 10 and verse 8, it is the sons of Aaron who were to blow with the trumpets. And God said that was an ordinance forever throughout your generations, including David's generation. Folks, I believe the music is wrong here. It's hewn stone. And what makes it so dangerous is that it is a mixture of truth and error. Turn back over to 1 Chronicles chapter 13, if you will. I think this is the last place we're going to turn, and we're going to end up back where we started, pretty close to where we started anyway. Turn back over to 1 Chronicles and look at chapter 13 and verse 8. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might and with singing and with harps and with psalteries and with timbrels and with cymbals and with trumpets. Now some would read this verse and they would compare it to 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 5 and they'd say there's a contradiction. There's a contradiction between these two passages. No, there's no contradiction. And if you think that, you will miss the lesson that the Spirit of God is teaching here, and it's such a critical lesson. Here in 1 Chronicles 13:8, we have the hewn stone. Here we have the mixture of truth and error. And when you notice when you have hewn stone, when you have this mixture of truth and error, the trumpets are here. When you have this mixture of truth and error, notice where truth is. It's last. It's last. It's there at the end behind all the other instruments. And the sound of David and all Israel playing before God with all their might. That sounds so spiritual on the surface, doesn't it? That sounds so spiritual. David and all Israel playing before God with all their might. But the sound of them singing and playing with all their might, with harps and with psalteries and with timbrels and with cymbals, was so great and so loud that the writer of 2 Samuel did not even record that there were trumpets there, because they were drowned out by all of these other instruments. And that's so important to see, because the trumpet in the Bible is the way that the ark was to move. The trumpet in the Bible is an amazing symbol. It's a symbol of the clarion call of God. It's a symbol of the definite and the clear and the unmistakable call of God. It's a symbol of the Word of God. Because it's here in this book that we find the clear and unmistakable call of God. His call to salvation. The trumpets that we read about in Numbers chapter 10 were made of silver. Silver is a picture of redemption. And so the trumpet speaks to us of salvation. It also speaks to us of judgment. It speaks to us of warning. It speaks to us of a summoning. The trumpet is a picture of believers. And what is so interesting is that all of this symbolism of the trumpet comes together in a very interesting verse. And that verse is Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 1, where God tells His people, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins." Folks, we are to cry aloud and spare not. We're to lift up our voice like a trumpet. We are to preach the word and be instant in season, out of season. We're to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. That's what it means to cry aloud and spare not. We're to lift up our voice like a trumpet in these dark days and give the clarion call to salvation. And we do that by showing people their transgressions and their sins and telling them that redemption is only available in the Lord Jesus Christ. And pointing out the blessed gospel message of Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That's the message of the silver trumpet of the Old Testament. It's the message of the silver trumpet of the New Testament. I think that's why there were two trumpets that the Lord told Moses to make. We're to cry aloud and spare not. We're to lift up our voice like a trumpet and give the clarion call to war. Give the clarion call for believers in this hour to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're to cry aloud and spare not. We're to lift our voice like a trumpet and give the clarion call of warning of coming judgment. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. And it's like that because they would not believe the truth. They would not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. We're to lift up our voice like a trumpet and give the call of warning, the call of judgment that's coming. We're to cry aloud and spare not. We're to lift up our voice like a trumpet and give the clarion call that very, very soon we're going to hear the summons of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with what? The trump of God. The trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And the way that we comfort one another with these words is by allowing the trumpet of the Word of God to cry aloud and spare not in our own lives. And show us our transgressions and show us our sins so that we might examine ourselves and confess our sins, because the Lord Jesus Christ is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that we might not be ashamed before Him at His coming. What an amazing and incredibly important instrument the trumpet is. But look where it is in the life in the lives of David and the people of God. It's last in this list of instruments. I keep going back to the fact that 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 5 doesn't even mention trumpets. And again, I believe it's like that because the trumpets are drowned out by all the other instruments. And this is exactly what's happening in churches in this county. In this county. And all over this state and all over this nation. The music is wrong in the majority of in so many churches. The people of God are playing and they're listening and they're being fed contemporary Christian music. They're there before God with all their might, and with singing and with harps and with psalteries and with timbrels and with cymbals. And what is last, what is drowned out, is the two silver trumpets, the Word of God, the Old Testament and the New Testament. There's no crying aloud. And folks, when churches don't cry aloud and lift up their voice like a trumpet in declaring all the counsel of God, then what follows is sparing. Sparing. Sparing, like we talked about this morning in our little modification of O'Sullivan's first law applied to spiritual things. Any church or ministry that is not explicitly and militantly, and by militantly we mean vigorously and actively supporting the truth of the Word of God, vigorously and actively engaging in spiritual warfare. Any church or ministry that is not explicitly and militantly and uncompromisingly fundamental, that is not seeking the Lord after the due order of His Word, that church or ministry will go into and become apostate. It's just a matter of time before it happens. That's what's happening here in 1 Chronicles 13:8. It's what's happening in churches all over America. And the result is that the trumpet, the clarion call to preach the word, the clarion call to salvation, the clarion call to war to the people of God, the call of the trumpet to the people of God to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, the call of the trumpet that tells us that no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath called him to be a soldier. That trumpet is giving an uncertain sound in the midst of all these other instruments, and the people of God are not preparing themselves for spiritual warfare. The clarion call of the warning of coming judgment and the call of the summons to come up hither, and how that could happen at any moment. The message of the trumpets is being drowned out by the hewn stones that are being used to build churches and ministries. They're being drowned out by the harps and the psalteries and the timbrels and the cymbals. Being drowned out by this mixture of truth and error. And the result is very sobering to think about. Because in this atmosphere that we're talking about, churches are becoming full of uzzas. People who feel the liberty to take hold of the things of God in a light and casual way. That's what Uzzah did. And it was in this atmosphere that we're talking about that he reached out and grabbed hold of the ark. He reached out in disobedience. And in a very light and casual way, he took hold of the ark of God. People are doing that in churches today. They're Uzzahs who add the ark of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, to their new cart. No change of direction. No repentance, no surrender, no reproach to bear. Christianity is easy today, convenient, fun, as we talked about this morning. And things didn't change in Israel until David sought the Lord after the due order of his word. That's when things changed. And things aren't going to change in America until churches give up the new cart of the ideas and the programs and the methods of the world and put the trumpets in their rightful place of preeminence and seek the Lord after the due order of His Word. Maybe you're thinking tonight, well, we don't have that kind of church here. It's by the grace of God that we don't. But may I say, the only way this church can avoid the new cart of the programs and the methods of the world, the only way that this church can avoid the trumpets being put in a lesser place, the only way that we can keep the trumpets in their proper place of preeminence and not have them drowned out by the music of the world, the only way that this church can be explicitly and militantly and uncompromisingly fundamental is if we seek the Lord as individual believers first and as a body of believers after the due order of His Word. It's the only way it can happen. Otherwise, we're going to leave ourselves open to hewn stone. Leave ourselves open to this mixture of truth and error. that brings on deception. May we allow the Lord to help us to every day seek Him after the due order of His Word. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we pray that You would help us to consider these things together tonight. What an incredible book this is that shows us so clearly and plainly the days in which we're living, the deception of this hour. We know that the only way for ourselves as individual believers and as a body of believers to stay out of deception, to stay out of the course of this world, to stay out of the new cart, to keep the trumpets of Your Word in the place of preeminence, is to seek You after the due order of Your Word and not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. We pray that we might do these things for the praise and honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in His name.